Westminster.
Westminster.
Okay, we're going to call the meeting to order and stand for the pledge. Thank you.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. All right, we're going to start tonight with Stephanie. Is it
Burke?
Burke.
Yep.
Is going to give a report on emergency
local hazard mitigation plan. So I've got packets for everyone. You should have three items in your packet. And then Joe, I brought an extra one so that there's a hard copy here in the office for the public comment period. So we are pretty much at the finish line for Fairhaven's update of the local hazard mitigation plan. So I'm here on behalf of your local planning team, that consists of Joe and Jim Heller, to present their work to date. Obviously, I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for all the hard work that Joe and Jim have put into updating this plan. I've basically facilitated a process to make sure that the plan contains all of the federal requirements, but the content that is Fairhaven specific has come from your planning team. So I really want to acknowledge all of their efforts in getting us to this point. So in your packet, I've given you kind of a planning process overview sheet that kind of gives you a snapshot of what, you know, from a very high level, obviously, what the purpose of the plan is and where we are to date, what we're going to be doing between tonight and April 15th. And then what's next in order to get this plan ultimately FEMA approved, okay? So the April 1st draft of the plan is also in your packet. I would encourage, you know, the plan's being presented, the midpoint plan was presented to you folks by Joe. So we're here to kind of come full circle and provide you with a final full draft, and are presenting it now, obviously, to get input from local officials like yourself, as well as your planning commission, and others in the community. So what you have before you is pretty much like a 99% complete plan, because there are a few placeholders that we'll fill in after we get through the final public comment period, okay, which will run from today through April 15th. So we started this work back in September of 2024, and throughout those months, we've basically come up with a plan that covers what hazard mitigation is, kind of a general purpose for hazard mitigation planning, like what are the benefits of doing this kind of work for a municipality. The plan includes a really high-level community profile with some characteristics about your community that may make it maybe more resilient or vulnerable to the impacts of natural hazards. If you're familiar with your town plan, some of this kind of community profile information might look consistent with your town planning document. We have to, as required by FEMA, kind of document the planning process that your team's gone through in order to develop this update. We also need to talk about what has changed in your community since your last FEMA-approved plan, which was back in 2019. This is a five-year life, there's a five-year life cycle for this plan, so it's due for updating now. But in that section, we kind of talk about what's maybe changed in terms of land use, or shifts in your mitigation priorities. And then we dive into what I consider kind of the bulk of the plan. There's two major sections. One where the planning team went through a pretty robust exercise to identify hazards and complete a risk assessment to narrow down a broad range of natural hazard impacts that the community feels that it's most vulnerable to. And if those are the hazards that you'll develop a mitigation strategy to address. So, all of that hazard identification and risk assessment is presented in section 5 of the plan. And for each of the highest risk hazards, which ended up being extreme cold, snow, and ice, flash flooding, or fluvial erosion, or stream bank erosion, invasive species, extreme heat, inundation flooding, and strong wind. So for each of those types of hazard impacts, there's a profile and vulnerability summary so that we really well establish kind of the conditions that you're looking to mitigate against. Okay, that's the section of the plan that you reviewed at the midpoint. So that information hasn't changed since the last time you reviewed the plan. What is new is the mitigation strategy presented in section 6. This section really identifies the mitigation goals for the community, what kind of capabilities you have in 4 different categories in order to successfully undertake mitigation work. And then, like we did in terms of assessing a broad range of natural hazards to determine risk, the planning team also evaluated a broad range of potential actions and then created a short list that's presented in an action plan, which some the action plan is the short list of actions that the planning team felt were reasonable and practical for the town to implement. And in pretty much within the 5-year window of this plan. The plan concludes with a description of how it will be maintained during its life cycle and then updated on its 5-year interval. This document isn't intended to be kind of stuck on a shelf once you've finished the update. It's really meant to be looked at annually to help, you know, keep everybody aware and on track of, you know, the actions that you set out to try to complete in order to reduce the risk that the community faces to natural hazards. So that's the bulk of the plan. There's some appendices. The first appendix A will be the certificate of adoption that will discuss when it will be appropriate for the town to actually take action at a regular board meeting to adopt the final plan. Appendix B summarizes your actions from 2019. And I just remembered in Fairhaven's 2019 plan was the very first hazard mitigation plan that I did as a relatively new staffer at the Regional Planning Commission. So it was kind of fun to come back, you know, all these years later and help update it. And you know, the plan looks quite different now than it did in 2019. That was primarily driven by, you know, changes in FEMA guidance that became effective in 2023 or 2024. Because like with most things, your methods and ways of doing things evolve over time, right? As people become more knowledgeable or experienced. So this plan will look quite different from your 2019. And new in this version is Appendix C, which is a pretty beefy appendix that outlines all of the robust engagement that the community undertook to really try to help connect with people throughout the planning process to help inform its contents. Okay, so that's it in a nutshell. As I said, we're sharing this final draft now because the planning team has completed their work and they feel that the plan was ready for presentation. It's the opportunity now for you folks who ultimately will be responsible for adopting and then, you know, implementing parts of this plan to review it, make sure that you're comfortable with the contents. And we're hoping that the review can be accomplished over the next 2 weeks. So my goal would be to come back to your next meeting on April 15th to coincide with the closing of the public comment period to receive any feedback that you folks as board members might have, as well as anything else from the public that might be shared at your meeting. And I would come to you and, you know, apprise you of any comments that are emailed to me during the next 2 weeks. So if we want to kind of look at the cover sheet, we're targeting sometime in April to kind of close out not only the public comment period, but get approval from the board to submit the plan to Vermont Emergency Management for what will be considered kind of a prior approval that's necessary in order for the state to weigh in as to whether or not they think your plan complies with all the federal requirements. And the third piece of the material in your packets is the tool that the state reviewers are going to use to make that determination. So I've pre-filled in, as is required, where in your plan each of these federal requirements is addressed. So we'll submit a final draft of the plan after the public comment period and address any final revisions that may come in during that time. So we'll once the board is comfortable with the final version of the plan, we'll submit it along with the review tool to the state. And once the state issues what's called approval pending adoption, no changes to the plan, right? When you get ready to make this submittal for approval pending adoption, that means you're not touching that plan again unless the state reviewers come back and tell you that there are deficiencies that need to be addressed. And only then, you know, can you make those changes in order to get that approval that's necessary for you to then adopt the plan. And once the plan is adopted, it's resubmitted for FEMA final approval. And it'll be that FEMA final approval date that starts the 5-year window on your plan. Okay. So, any questions?
Board members, do you have any questions for Stephanie about the process?
Probably once I read it all, I will, but not right now. So, I'm curious if there's any way to get this document in sort of a plain text version, either a Word document or a text document. You've done a lot of lovely work, obviously, with the
visuals. Yeah, I'm probably not going to be thrilled about, you could download a PDF version and you could maybe put comments in a PDF version. It's developed in Microsoft Word in 2-column format.
Okay.
So from a logistical standpoint, I don't know if you work in 2-column format in Word a lot. It's really not designed for that in terms of editing. I just don't want to create just a formatting nightmare. So I would prefer if you could make comments in PDF.
Yeah, that would be great. But even that format would be lovely. It's for the purposes of ingesting it into an audio tool, in case I wanted to listen back to it, it's easier to do with a Word document than it is with a PDF. Totally okay if that's not accessible, but if it is, I would love to review it in that format, if that's at all
possible. Okay, so long as you don't try to, like, change or...
No,
that's... Okay, that's I'd be happy to share. Can I send it to Joe and have him forward it on to you? Okay.
Thank you.
Great. And in terms of accessing a digital version, if folks want to do like I suggested in terms of downloading a PDF and, you know, use it if you prefer to do your review in a digital format, there's a landing page set up for this project. It's The web address is right at the bottom of this, tinyurl.com/fairhavenlhmp25. So I encourage you to check out the landing page. It kind of provides a big picture overview of the plan purpose and the planning process. And as I've already said, we're at the tail end of it now. So there's spots for you to click a link to download the PDF. So you can access it digitally on the landing page. Your paper copy here for members of the public. There will also be a paper copy available here at the town office.
Any other questions from board members?
Not so much a question. Would it be possible just to review, because I saw some of the respondent questions in the survey, the benefits to the town on approving such a plan versus the consequences of the town going without a plan, so that for folks who may be not up to speed on why we're going through this process, it might be helpful for them.
Sure. I think on, page one of the plan where it talks about the purpose, there are some, I think, just intrinsic benefits for community planning that are depicted in the graphic. So making sure that you've got a document that is community driven and it's living, it's something that you guys as a board and an administration are looking at on an annual basis to make sure that you're taking necessary steps to do your due diligence in terms of trying to mitigate from the effects of natural hazards. The plan itself would identify kind of cost-effective actions for risk reduction, things that, the planning team believes are reasonable and practical. It focuses resources on the greatest risks. That's the whole point of the hazard identification and risk assessment. Promotes partnership building. You'll see in the action plan potential partners for the town to work with to try to complete the various actions. It in general increases awareness of hazards and risks, so it kind of provides it's an educational tool, and it basically aligns risk reduction with public activities and decision making. That's one of the things that will make your mitigation efforts most successful is if you kind of integrate these concepts into your government, your all of the rest of your government operations. But if you're looking for something that's more financially driven as far as a reason to do this kind of work, that is specifically on page. Okay. 25 of the plan. So if there is a federally declared disaster, and the community wishes to participate in FEMA's public assistance program, which is designed to provide financial support in the form of 75% of eligible repair costs to communities that have suffered in a federally declared disaster. The state has set up what they call an Emergency Relief Assistance Fund. They refer to it as ERAF. So in addition to public dollars, 75% of public dollars coming from the federal level, there's a 25% wedge where the state's ERAF program will contribute varying amounts depending on what steps a town has taken to try to mitigate for natural hazard impacts. So there's a graphic on page 25 that really kind of lays out nicely in the event of a $1 million recovery project. The dollar value in the middle would kind of shows what your municipal responsibility would be if you take certain steps. So if you participate in the National Flood Insurance Program, which you do, if you have adopted town road and bridge standards that comply with VTrans minimums, which you have, if you update your local emergency management plan and keep that current on an annual basis, which you do, and you have a current hazard mitigation plan, you qualify for a 12.5% contribution from the state's ERAF program. If you don't have the hazard mitigation plan, that 12.5 drops down to 7.5. So in a $1 million recovery project, you're looking at paying $75,000 or $125,000. So, there is also a financial incentive behind, all the work that goes into preparing this plan and adopting it. To make it clear, it's also stated on page two that this is just as the name suggests, it's a plan. It's not a contract. It's not a binding agreement. It's once adopted, it's not legally binding, right? FEMA's not going to come down and say, "Oh, you said you were going to do this by this date, so that makes you." None of that happens, right? This is a planning tool, right? So it outlines the goals and actions that the town would like to take to prevent future loss of life and property from natural hazards.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Any other questions? So it looks like, just to sum up where we're headed, you'll be coming back to our next meeting and you'll be looking for, we'll have time to explore all of this, any input the board has, or I would take it if someone else had input, you'd be taking that.
Right.
We'd be, as a board, maybe not signing the approval, but saying yes, and you take that to get approved, and then you come back for us.
So,
Just wanted to make sure I knew the
yeah.
process.
So, and I would draw your attention to page five, which is table two, kind of outlines all the key date milestones in this process. And you'll notice that April 18th and April 29th are highlighted in yellow as tentative. So it really depends on what kind of feedback we get over the next 2 weeks. If there's really minimal to no input on the plan when I come back on the 15th, we may be in a position for me to ask that you consider approving the document for submittal for APA, the approval pending adoption, on the 15th. If your comments are kind of editorial in nature or like minor typo corrections or things like that, I could see that happening. If we get considerable feedback during the 2 week public comment period that really requires all of that material to go back to Joe and Jim and, have them kind of sort through how to address it, we would be having a planning team meeting on April 18th to do that. And then we'd be circling back with you on the 29th with a revised plan based on the public comment input for us to kind of do this again.
Good. An interesting
Okay.
question. We need to get this approved in April.
That would be my goal. Yes, I'd like to be submitting this for approval pending adoption in April. Okay.
Good. If there are so many questions for
No.
asking, thank you very much for
You're
coming
so
and explaining this. We
awesome.
look forward to seeing you.
2 weeks. Great.
Thank you.
Thanks.
All right. Item three, amendments to the agenda. Do we have any amendments to the agenda?
I have one, sir, if it's okay. Approval of liquor and tobacco licenses.
And under new business,
Please.
do I have a motion for that?
I make a motion that we amend the minutes to or the agenda to accommodate the liquor licenses.
Seconded.
We have a motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Moving on to approval of the minutes from March 18th.
Make a motion to accept the minutes for the March 18th minute meeting as written.
I'll second that.
Any comments, edits? All those in favor?
Aye.
My gosh.
There were a lot of minutes. We clearly did an
I'm sure
excellent
there's place.
job.
Okay. Item five, department head reports.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Last week we had two arrests. The chins aren't really arrests, they're killing me supervision for 3 children, each conventional DCF. And we had one live person who wrote 119 traffic tickets, 35 written warnings. No crashes, which is good, and no parking violations. We have 13 sets of Does that make sense? I provide you a review of the highlights of what we did, which is the last 2 weeks, a lot of foot patrol, a lot of traffic. So we're at 340 calls per service with 1,228 for the year. That's it for that.
Good. Questions for the team?
Yeah, 322, 761, and 50. I just want to know what kind of car that was that was able to go 761 miles an hour.
Did I have a
Yeah. Where can I get said car?
There.
Asking for a friend.
Oh, it was 76.
Yeah. Oh, that was a very fast one.
Yeah.
That's all. That's all I have.
That's an April Fool's joke for tonight.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, Chief.
Thank you.
Sure. The DPW, or do you want to do a combination of?
We'll do the combo today.
Okay.
We'll start with the transfer station. As part of our push to keep our employees and our residents safe, Project Work Safe will be back in May to the transfer station. If you remember, we had them come out last year and just review Town Hall and DPW, and you know, I think they went to the water plant as well. So they'll be back in May to check out the transfer station and make sure everything's good there. The water leak up at the Jiffy Mart, which I think a few people had noticed, they patched that up today. Fabian did that work, and that work is being paid for by Jiffy Mart. That was an abandoned line on their property. Over on Marhar, Public Works replaced a culvert. I think that was last Friday. They've also been up doing some bank stabilization and some tree removal on Scotch Hill. We're prepping for the, I'm going to say it out loud, but we're prepping for paving up there at Scotch Hill. I'm feeling good about it this year. I said it on camera, so we'll,
it's got to happen.
It's got to happen. The tree down at Cedar Grove, the guys went out and cleaned that up last week. In the swap shop, I'm meeting with the team tomorrow after our team meeting. We're going to go take a look at the progress. I have some draft rules that I'll share with the board at the next meeting. And get that opened up at the end of this month, end of April, mid to end of April. We renewed the mutual aid agreement through the Rutland Regional Planning Commission. This is the fifth year we're doing that. This is if there's a FEMA event, we help our neighbors and that we can be paid for the equipment that we loan them. Town Hall paint job, the exterior of Town Hall, the soffits up top. This is a project we've been trying to get done for 2 years. Flying colors painting out of Rutland. He was the only bid on the job. It's Vito. What's the young lady that owns the pizza place?
Lucy.
It's Lucy's son.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
So he's going to do the project. He's going to do it at the end of the summer. He bumped it up, so he'll be here in late April, early May to do that job. Okay. Let's talk about the storm that went through. We did have some trees down, power was out. The big thing for us is that we lost quite a bit of equipment at the wastewater plant. We lost one phase of electricity going to the plant. And when it came back, when the power came back on, it smoked some of our equipment. The electricians were out this morning at 7 o'clock and they managed to get some of the plant back up and running. They're developing a report and a list of equipment that needs to be replaced. And I've already submitted that claim to the insurance company. So they're expecting about 50,000 worth of damages. But that's right. I mean, I started at 500. I shot a little high.
50 sounded better.
Yeah, that's what the insurance company said. That sounds better. So that's we're moving forward with that. I'll give the board an update as that comes out. But yeah, towards the end of this week, we'll hear about that. And the town hall RFP for the air conditioning and the heat pumps is due back on the 7th. That's also going to do insulation in the attic as well as repair the porch in front of the police department to bring it up to ADA standards. For the select board, important thing for the board to remember is the water sewer budgets are in development right now. And this board will get a first look May 13th. So you got about a month before we start whipping up into more budgets. And that's what I got for you today.
Questions for Joe? Okay, so we did.
Are we the sewer plant? Is there anything that we as a community should we like not be at?
We just did 5 and 6 department head reports and town manager together. We're now on old business reappraisal bids.
Yep. So the reappraisal bids, I need to bump that out one more week. The listers and I both reviewed the proposals, and the listers are currently reaching out to what do you call that? People that had done work with these people prior.
References,
thank you. They're reaching out for references. So once we get a few more references back, we'll be able to speak more intelligently to the board about these.
Okay. Moving on to B, old business, appoint Linda Sinkowitz to the Planning Commission.
Yep, so I missed Linda Sinkowitz at the last meeting, and her term is up, so the board needs to appoint her.
I make a motion to appoint Linda Sinkowitz to Planning Commission.
Second.
You have a second? You know what we're doing? All those in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Wait. We need a term.
Oh, sorry. So if there was
if you're talking, you want that whole thing read that was there.
So make a motion to appoint Linda Sinkowitz to the Planning Commission for a 3-year term that ends March 2028.
I'll second that.
Thank you.
Now we know what we're doing. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
If not, I'd have to come back and ask you again.
New business, appropriation policy.
Yeah, so at the last meeting, it was requested that the board review the policy. I have put that in the packet.
Did board members get a chance to look through that? And if so, any comments on our existing appropriation policy? I think it's titled Social Service Appropriation Policy, Town of Fairhaven.
Good boy.
Page 2, I just want to draw attention to paragraph 2, where it says those social service agencies that have had an appropriation request approved at the most recent annual town meeting are not required to submit a petition for an article requesting an appropriation if the amount requested is the same or less than the amount approved by the voters in the previous year. I believe if I'm recalling, this is before my time on the board, this was enacted in the COVID era when getting petitions signed was somewhat difficult. I think we've heard a lot of input from some residents around wanting to see petitions circulate again so that we had a more active presence with the entities that we were appropriating to. So I would look to see if the board would consider removing such language and reverting back to our policy of previous years where petition was required for any appropriation request.
Right, and that's even on the front page of the petition.
Any other comments about the policy? Can I make a couple comments about the policy?
Yeah. No,
on page 2, that same paragraph, just go down another sentence. When it talks about each year, the people with appropriations have to put a letter in requesting to be put back on the ballot. They also need, and in that, they need to take and supply us with a document for our annual report saying you got X amount of money. This is where that money went and how it was used. Also, further down in the policy, and at the end of the second paragraph, agencies that do not submit an approved letter and report to the select board by the deadline must then submit a voter-backed petition. In other words, understand, just because you were there and you were approved and your amount and your existing policy amount didn't go up and didn't go down, you still have to put a letter in this policy to be on the appropriation, and you still have to provide the explanation for our annual report of this is where the money went. I just don't want it, if it sounds, it's not a everyone coming free type of thing, but there's rules. Right. And if that's not supplied, then the appropriation, you will be required to get signatures to get it on the ballot.
Awesome. I'd like to see two of them actually come to the tree town meeting so they can answer questions, because a lot of people had questions for these committees or these organizations when they weren't there to answer them. So yeah, it's easy to ask for money, but if you're not there to explain why,
you're right spot on.
Right, you can't even show up to, you're asking for money, you can't even show up to explain why.
And in this policy that we have that's been approved, in the last paragraph, it describes just that. The expectation is the social service requesting the appropriations under the policy. They need to, a representative, and it says a representative should attend town meeting and or the public informational hearing to explain the appropriation request to the voters and answer questions. I just want to, I think you noticed that I was one of the people who signed when we did the change on this, so I just wanted to give you a little background. The board at the time when we put this change in the appropriation request in spent a lot of time talking about should it be should or will be there, like what you're, we'll send somebody.
Right.
Still a question of when you're changing different things, what you want to do. I can tell you the discussion at the time was around if we have someone who's asking for less than $1,000 of and they're in multiple places and sending people out. After kicking around a lot, we ended up with should. But it's a pleasure of this board to decide as you're changing what you'd like to do.
Me personally, I think, because we're hearing a lot of people, wanting change, I think that should change to must or whatever, however you want to work. But I think that should be a requirement, me personally, that you be there. You're asking for taxpayer dollars. At least you can do a show up to the pre-town meeting. And
also, I would like to see exactly what people in the town of Prairie can benefit from it. Exactly where that goes.
And that's the expectation in the annual report.
Sometimes we don't get that. Sometimes we do away from that.
Is it
as for any requirement to show up to town meeting? I'd be hesitant around making it a must language. The reason being, we think about some organizations, maybe like Sleep Valley Cares, for example, where they've got an executive director. They might have short staff. Who do they send to which town on which town meeting day? Because there's probably a few different appropriations across different towns. And at that point, they'd be forced to pick and choose.
And at the past, I mean, remember how we had like ARC, and we had the chief helped us out by saying, hey, this, we use it a lot. It's here. But they're probably on every town's, I don't think they have enough people to physically.
Right. My own concern to that is, you do have a lot of voters that come out and they want some questions answered.
Let me.
They're not there to answer them, so I don't know.
Let me ask you this. This other question came to mind when I looked. But I read through this. I said, literally, you just followed the rules. I don't understand why there's a problem. When you make the statement that you're hearing a lot of people, I've heard one or two vocal Facebook people talk about appropriations. We have appropriations on our agenda, and we have three people. Once we get them talking here, I'm going to ask if there's anything from them. But I'm just want to caution us that we need your and jump thinking we have the masses. Usually when we make a decision that's not very popular, or people want something done, it's standing room only in here. So I'm just want to point that out. Now, I don't want to sound defensive towards a policy. We'll do whatever the board wishes. But
no, it is that one art program there that Chief Bill Humphreys gave us a good rundown on mm-hmm. what happens and why. That's a selling point, and that was good to hear. And I think we should hear more of that.
Joe?
Just to add a little bit. So the board can make rules around this if you're not requiring a petition, right? You can say, well, you can go on. If you do this, you don't have to get the petition. But anybody can get on with any petition, and it doesn't matter what the board says, right? So Joe's fundraiser could go out and say, I'm going to get my signatures, and anything, this policy wouldn't have any weight to that. So the real lever you have to pull is that ability to not get signatures and force people to come to the meeting or force them to give us the reports they want because they don't want to get signatures. Yeah. Was that clear?
While you're talking, Joe, because you usually are the... I want to know, you're the person who we rely on to administer the letter request comes in. If the request letter and the explanation of what they did with the money needs clarification, you give the pushback any concerns or anything.
It's
there.
The first year was tough because it was a new thing for our agencies. But after that, we start early, Eileen and I, and we call and we email. And they usually get us the information we're asking for. And they know what we're asking. They're, you know, if you look in your town report, you'll see that our agencies are telling us, yes, we serve these Fairhaven residents instead of the broader information we used to get where they say they serve 10,000 meals. Now they're saying we serve, you know, 10 households in Fairhaven. You know, it's a little bit more granular. So we did see good movement on that front.
And the other... Because it's not that I'm not listening to, but we had someone in here very, very adamant about changing it. Did a little research and said, okay, and it was primarily most emotion I felt came from Rutland Regional and the fact that we already have an ambulance, and I won't rehash that, but I'm going, after checking, during COVID, Rutland Regional never had a petition filled out. They only sent a letter during COVID after we didn't require. So I'm open mind enough to say, wait a minute. I don't know if everyone really came in on that. They didn't have a chance. If we also have the ability of going out and saying, for those that never had an appropriations request with signatures filled out, you need to do it at least once. My concern is, whether I agree with them or not myself, if the taxpayers keep saying, I want the same thing, and that's what we said, year over year over year. Just because I don't like it there, I don't want to put another obstacle. The taxpayers have a perfect ability at March of saying no as well as yes. So I just want to make sure we're fixing a problem that's.
I think too, it comes down to I think a lot of voters don't realize that these are separate from our budget. I think that's kind of in my mind what's kind of brought this up, right? Like that people are voting yes and not really knowing these are separate entities. So I think that might be more the real issue than trying to change. So, but I don't know how you would go about fixing that.
So do you require these agencies to, put stuff in, submit stuff to a town report and like what the funds went through and why they're asking for it again? Like, do we go that route versus changing this policy?
I just didn't know if everyone was aware. When our discussion 2 weeks ago, I don't know if everyone was aware that when it got changed, and it was quite a bit of discussion before it changed the way it did. Most of the discussion was around, folks, these items, with the exception of the one I just mentioned that came in during COVID and never got signatures, all the rest of them, for the last 15, 20 years, they've been on and approved. So I'm going, okay.
I think Mike's right. I think a lot of the voters realize this.
Mm-hmm.
And the bottom line is, every time we spend money, it costs taxpayers money. And if they don't realize, and I don't know how to get that word out there that good,
Oh, I think it might have been year two when I was here, we at least did once the voter guide.
I remember that.
You did?
There was a little pushback.
So much pushback on that.
I don't.
Everybody said, now they're telling us how to vote.
Yeah, that wasn't the case at all.
Rutland,
but I thought it was.
Did some like that. Like they did like the voting card thing, or I guess it's like historical. Like they used to like give you like a little card to go into like the polls with or whatever on like what to vote on. I guess. I don't.
I'm just trying to get information out. It's hard to get through the white noise.
You can put the information out there. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make a drink,
Mm.
Basically, that's what it is.
Right. I think that's more of the basic. How do we get people to realize like they don't, that's not those, these aren't life or death for the town, for as far as we're concerned.
And I think some they may think that it's already in there. It's part of the budget. And yes, I'm
right.
I don't know. I can't speak for folks. But on this policy, because I'm not really, I've heard some pretty good input on some things you'd like to tweak. I'm not saying, and do we take in, I'm trying to get an idea so Joel will know what we want to tweak to come back again and say, what do you want to change it?
So I think like to Chad's point, I think going back to before COVID, I think eliminating essentially that and going back to what it was before COVID.
Because just to understand, I feel like
we have to get a petition to run for select board seat. One year, you got to go do it yearly anyways. It's not that hard to get 20 signatures, but you got to put a little effort in if you want it. And I don't think it's asking too much from these people. Slate Valley Care, they can put a petition in their front office and they'll get probably 20 signatures in a day.
So thinking about a direction for Joe to go in,
mm-hmm.
Who is in favor on this board of returning to petitions needing to be filled out prior to being listed on the appropriations list?
Yeah.
I'm in favor of that.
Yes.
I am too.
Yes, yes.
I think that would help a lot. I really do.
I'm a no, but that's good. So that still doesn't. So can you draft changing that language back to the original language?
Yep.
And then
question when we change it, because with everyone needing an appropriations request and a new policy, just want to make sure the voters also voted because they always approved the rescue squad, they don't have to fill out an appropriation. Do we? And then the voters said, I don't think we can go against the voters on that. So they still don't. I don't know if that's don't have to fill out an appropriation for eternity, by the way, because that was my question. I'm saying with. Do we? I want to make sure it's a level playing field
If I understand correctly, there was a vote at one point in time determining that the rescue squad should never have to petition or even be voted on again? Is that what I'm understanding?
It has to be voted on, whatever appropriation they put forward, but they don't have to petition.
Go out,
they just
don't,
got
have,
life,
don't have to go out
lifetime
and get
exemption.
Signatures. But I'm just saying, I'm trying to think, what's the, if we go change that and
kind
make
of goes
it
back to the whole, you know, charging for the park thing. If you want, you do it for one, you got to do it for everyone. And as much as, you know, it might cause some riff. I mean, like I said,
that was an issue that was voted on.
Right.
So that goes outside of what.
How long ago was that?
I think I think it was voted on when there were 20 or 40,000 versus 185,000. Understand? That's a big change. But I mean, it's still. I'm not sitting. I'm just saying. I want to make sure that we are being fair.
I can ask BLCT if that's a in perpetuity thing or.
I was just going to say, just because
that's
you do it, what does that mean for the rest of
right.
eternity?
We're talking about this is going on.
How many
people, you know, would remember that? I mean, up until now, I didn't know that. Thinking about how much time. Right. So, why don't you reach out to BLCT and ask about that?
So we have that change that will bring back. Also, I heard some other things like the. Being, I think the wording is pretty good for you tell us what you're doing with the money we're giving you in the middle, but the requirement, the point you made, Mike, about that you will have some kind of, I we kicked that around with it, and I'm going, I understand how we got back to should. We'd like to invite them, we'd love to have them, but.
Or at the very minimum, submit some kind of little blurb for Seal or Joe or somebody to read off, and then maybe have them write down some generalized answers to some. I don't know how you do that, but like
this. So they, the third paragraph on page two, that they have to submit a description of their programs into that inclusion.
They put that in what they're doing. The whole point was the annual report have that information, and people could go there and they go, like, I think we had a question about Boys and Girls Club and at the last town meeting. It would have been great to have someone from the Boys and Girls Club to answer that question. In the future, we'll try, but sometimes it just can't happen. We get it. But now, to say we'd like to see that, I think we want to continue, but I just didn't know if you felt strongly enough that you wanted that to be more of you will have someone or not.
You can't really shall it. You can't really say shall at the point when you get, if you're forcing them to get signatures, they're not required
they're
to do
not
anything
required
the board says.
I was just going
to
say, they don't even have to
like the law says they get their signatures, they go on the ballot.
Oh,
that's period,
that's,
done story. They could come in here and tell you where, you know,
exactly
where the bear goes,
mm-hmm.
and it doesn't matter at that point. Yeah.
If we require them to
get a
petition
signed. If
we
require,
we don't get any report from them that demonstrates the impact of their work.
You can't force them.
Okay.
Most people do.
So organizations are good when you call them back and say, hey, look, can you put a little more in your report that says, so our taxpayers just want to know where the dollars are. And that's a reasonable request.
I think it's important that the voters know what they're voting for,
mm-hmm.
where that money's going.
Mm-hmm.
So also, like, to kind of inform more, so like in the town report, could you like do like when do this actually like the appropriation? Like these aren't like you do not have to vote yes or no on these. Like this is up to you, the voter.
That was the voter guide that we put out. We got
right, but if you're doing the town report though,
we even put on the voter guide. This will increase your taxes next year, and that. That got us. This one increased. This one went down.
Who composed the voter guide? Was it a group effort on the part of the board, or was it Joe? Or
I wrote it and then passed
it's
it.
Been done with the board.
Okay.
I thought it was great, but I wasn't on the board back then. But I know a
Thanks
lot of people that were angry.
Yeah,
angry.
Yep.
I mean, see, and I would thought we were. Concerned. See, Rick, why would you be angry? Like, I want to be informed. I mean, there's a lot of stuff I've learned in the last year of what vote on. You say I voted blindly before not knowing, but there really isn't a lot of information put out around what you're voting on, you know, besides the town report. I mean,
you think you, the more information you had, the more informed you would be, the better off you'd be. I wouldn't be mad. I'd be happy knowing.
So not wanting to be a dead horse, I think we're there, Joe, where the consensus is go right dead, change that up and put it back on in the next one.
Well, I just want to clarify one thing. So, sorry, because I think I understand correctly, but if we leave it alone, they are required, everyone who is on the appropriations, they are required to complete a report to send to the town that explains the impact of how they use the money. That, to me, seems more onerous than having to have a petition signed. And if the intent is to make these organizations demonstrate and put some amount of effort and work into getting the money, I would rather them complete a report than have a petition signed. Like, that to me, it seems more meaningful and perhaps even more work on their part.
Well, I think they owe it to the voter to have that.
Yeah.
Well, I think yes, and right. I think it's important for them to be able to demonstrate to the voters on how their money went and how the town has benefited from it. But at the same time, I'm not looking to put more work on these agencies. I think the petition itself, to me, is designed to inform the voters, hey, we want to be on the ballots, mm-hmm. and here are the reasons why. Mm-hmm. And so I see a petition as being more a potential for more informative to the taxpayers versus writing a report after the fact.
But it's only 15 signatures?
I don't know what the percentage is.
I don't know how many
of the votes. The statute says something like 5%.
Okay.
The voters, so you come up with a number based on
that. Okay, so that's more. But, I'm sorry. Incorrect.
Yeah. And it would be, but again, I'm going to try to wrap that around that. No, I bet we'll take a pass, talk about it. Again, put it back on the agenda. One thing you want to be thinking about. Because most people, before COVID, when they were getting their signatures, they relied on knowing they needed signatures. So March, when everyone was going to vote, because trying to go find a registered voter to sign a petition was not an easy task. It's what makes it easy. If we were to change this, I would ask you to just put it in the back of mind to try to consider not going into effect this March. You got to give them a chance to be at the tell them effective the following March so that they can be there getting their signatures from registered voters for their petition to be on the following year. I don't think we've got a big, we don't have a November election. For people, the problem isn't even the small number. If you've got a group of people that's coming to you and asking an organization to come out and come into Fairhaven and start knocking on doors for signatures when you have to be a registered voter on that appropriations request, what worked for them and why it worked before we changed the rules on COVID. I feel like we owe it to change the rules to become effective after the next March election, so at least they, because usually that's where I saw most of the people with their petitions. Okay. I mean, some folks would be there, they'd help out three different organizations. And get signatures for each of the organization at one time when they were doing it.
Can I make a request of you, Joe?
Yes,
not to put more on your plate, but perhaps inviting some of these organizations to the next meeting so we can hear on the impact
sure.
one way or another.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's an excellent idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll invite everybody. Yeah. And those that come. Yeah. And there's always Zoom.
Okay. Moving on to the next item under new business is tree pruning in the park. I believe you had some stuff in your boxes on this one here.
You shouldn't. Did I get the picture in there? So that's you'll have a picture. That's the tree that we've been watching for the last 7-8 years. It lost a big leader off the center. And I'll talk about that in just a second. But so we're getting back to our tree pruning program. This year, trees came out and they reviewed. They looked at all the trees, including the one with the big rot in the middle of it. And they are recommending, so that I find my numbers, they're recommending $10,500 worth of trimming and shoring up and just general maintenance on the park trees. We're asking for that money to come out of the tree fund, which there is currently $12,050 in that fund.
Are you looking for a motion, or because it's already in your tree fund budget, just consensus from the board to go do it?
Nope, this is a reserve fund, so the board has
to. Oh, it is from reserve. Okay.
But before anybody makes a decision, what I would like to do though is have trees take a better look at that maple instead of just going and cutting it down. They said they can kind of scrape into it to see if it does need to be cut down or not. Because that's $2,100 like the tree that we need. And I'd like to make sure that it's really dead before we, because it's a big old tree.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't want to cut it down. It's just right. Got more years in.
My only question, if we do, I'd like to see it replaced with another maple.
It should be.
Yep.
But, I mean, we have a really beautiful park. You don't want to start clear cutting the park. You know, if we take one out, I think we should make it a point to replace it.
I think that's been the policy in the past. I mean, replace trees.
I've replaced only one since I've been here, but yeah, goal is to replace them.
I think maybe we ought to try to put three or four in there this year, if we can.
All right, so I'll get
it'd be nice.
I'll get some numbers for you from
mm-hmm.
the Polony Conservation Board, the trees.
Good. So yeah, with that said, if the board was so inclined, we would like to trim up those trees and then look at that one and take it down or not, depending on what the specialist says.
Well, what if I make a motion that we trim all these trees accordingly, and with the exception of the big maple, we do some more research on it, have them investigate it closer to see if it does have to come down. If it doesn't, we may go to give a little more light.
Perfect. What's the total amount?
10.5.
So up to but not to exceed.
Not to exceed 10,500.
That's correct.
Is the motion. Do I have a second?
Seconded.
To come out of the park tree fund.
The motion is to take not to exceed $10,500 of the park tree restoration reserve fund.
Right.
Motion was made by Rich, seconded by Sam. Any other discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
And that's to do the trimming for $10,500 and cut this tree down if necessary.
Yes.
Okay.
I will come back to the board before I make that call. I won't cut that tree down before I come back to you guys. I'm very cognizant of these trees.
Thank you.
Yes,
I'm going to make some noise if it comes down and not replaced.
Okay, new business appointment to the Otter Creek Communication District.
Make a motion to appoint Sam Lucci as the Fairhaven representative to the Otter Creek Communications District.
And I'll second that.
Good. Discussion? Sam, we want to thank you for volunteering.
Thank you.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Sorry.
I was hoping you were going to say nay.
Maybe next year.
Yeah.
Excellent. Good. And now we have approval of liquor tobacco licenses, D, that we added to the agenda.
There are a few submitted, three in total. Make a motion to approve a first-class club license, a third-class club license, and an outside consumption permit to Fairhaven Eagles, area number 3907.
I'll second that.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Make a motion to approve a first-class restaurant slash bar license and an outside consumption permit for Scotch Hill Brewing LLC.
I'll second that.
Seconded by Rich. Questions? All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Make a motion to approve a second-class liquor license and a tobacco license to SW Walk Corporation BDA Liberty Street Market.
I'll second that.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Done.
Can I have that, Chad?
Do we have?
Thank you.
Nope, it's just motions anymore.
Okay, now we are 2 minutes for public comment. All right.
The IBC has been in operation for 5 years. We ask for very little money through. We kind of do everything ourselves, and we have very few volunteers. So I gave you a list of our inventory and was told that we would find something. The only person that's talking about it is Reese, and he doesn't have any room in his storage facility. At the EDC meeting, we sort of decided that we aren't going to do a Christmas event anymore. The EDC is going to take it over. So that will come out of our inventory. So it's taking up one bay of my garage. And Jay and I are going to plan to downsize. So there isn't, we can't keep it anymore. So if you don't want to get us a place for storage, then after each event, we'll just bring this stuff up here and we'll be done. You don't have to give us an email answer now, but we can't do it anymore.
Okay, thank you.
I'm going to give this because maybe a couple of you haven't had, didn't have the inventory list.
Thank you for your time. Any other comments? John.
Hello, first off, my name is Jonathan Delores. I would like to congratulate everybody on their appointments to the select board. I'd like to welcome the new member. I just caught your name, Sam Lucci.
That's right. Yeah.
Nice to meet you. Welcome to the board. As you know, I'm suing the town of Fairhaven, the police department, and associated people. Mr. Chairman, I congratulate you on your appointment to the big boy chair. I hope you're ready to make a big boy decision tonight because I'm going to shoot you a big boy decision. I am willing to settle that lawsuit completely and totally before we even have to go to mediation, because I have a mediation schedule and all I have to do is sign it and we go to mediation. And the next step after that is actually going to litigation. But I'm going to shoot you guys a decision, a choice you guys have to make. Would you like to settle on all you have to do is show me the before checks the town used to purchase my property during the 3/18/14 tax sale. Because your attorney told the Vermont Supreme Court that you guys were the highest winning bidder. Mr. Durfee said under oath in this very room that the town did not formally bid. Mr. Gunter and everybody else had only submitted one check for 4/17/14, 29 days after tax sale. That check and purchase is null and void because it is not at a public tax sale. You know, because Mr. Chairman, you've been on the board for 8 years. You were served the original lawsuit by Sheriff Deputy at the time, Sherry McDermott. Those checks don't exist.
Thank you for your comment. Any other comments?
Good evening, Lillian Dolowitz, town of Fairhaven. Again, congratulations to everyone and welcome, Mr. Lucci. What I'd like to address tonight is concerning the financial report and checkbook. Going back, what's on the agenda as number 12. Going back to town meeting day, I believe it was Mr. Stannard, the elected auditor, raised the issue. Well, he raised several issues, but one of them in particular was the paid auditor, the independent auditor's report. He stated that it wasn't shining or similar language and said that it should more or less be available to the public online posted. I followed up with that, and if you go to, just as an aside to validate what I'm saying, If you go to the town clerk elections, March 4th, the audio, it's between the time frame of 40 minutes and 47 minutes, give or take in there. I addressed Seal Hunt as the moderator, as I'm addressing you, Mr. Travers, as the chairperson, to question whether or not that is available and why it hadn't been posted. Because I had requested of the board back in October, November, 4 months prior. And the conversation went back and forth with Seal and the board, and I believe you, Mr. Travers, said something about it was difficult to hear, but well, I don't know if it's posted or not. Mr. Gunter said, yes, it's available. And I questioned, well, could it be? And I said, well, yes, it could be posted, but would it be able to be posted? Mr. Gunter says somewhere in there, 45, 46, 47 minutes, it could be posted. It can be posted. Okay. And Seal then said, okay, so it will be posted on the website. Here we are 4 weeks later, and it is still not posted. And Mr. Lucci, I'm sorry, Mr. Travers, if you could address with Mr. Lucci whether or not he's had the opportunity to avail himself of that independent auditor's report to bring him up to speed at no fault of his own. That there is reason. I mean, yes, all the good news gets on Facebook, town page. Again, we request, by and through myself, the elected auditor, why isn't that report online? Is there an answer?
If you're talking about the 20-year, fiscal year 2024 audit?
Right, the one that was just brought out.
We are looking forward to when that is given to us.
You have it. It was given in October, November.
You're talking the fiscal year 23 audit. Right.
The one that was given out.
That one has been given to us, but I'm just trying to say the most recent audit it'll be on an agenda, and the auditor will actually, correct me if I'm wrong, Joe, will be actually online or here to talk about the most recent.
The one I'm talking about and the one that the elected, and pardon me if I go over the 2 minutes because we're engaging peacefully. Mm-hmm. The question I have is one
we've exceeded our 2 minutes.
So it still isn't online.
Thank you for your comment.
You are quite welcome.
Roseanne
Van Loo, Fairhaven. Regarding the appropriation policy, I believe that Mike made a good point in that a lot of people just go down and vote because they think it's part of the budget. I think that if we were to have people, the organizations have petitions, I think that makes a little bit more of a statement that this is not part of the budget that is already put together. This is a separate from the town if they have to sign a petition to get it on there. That's all. And when I had to put the petition together a couple of years ago, I think it was 99 signatures. So I just, if you were.
Thank you for your comment. Moving on to parking lot. Anything that anyone, all those items are being pretty much in the cooker. They're still being worked on, in other words, here. Unless there's any questions from board? Board round table.
Nothing on my end. I'm curious to hear what everyone else has going on.
I know it was brought up, town properties that we had available. I think we were working on a list or talked about or that. Made progress on that at all, Joe?
I can say that we do have one piece of property for sale right now. It's the old outlet spot on Prospect. We have sold most of the properties that we could. I know there's four potential for building lots on Academy where that park is, but there's not a lot of will to, there's not a lot of public will to sell those. We do have, the town owns two lots on Union Street and one lot on Willard that are coming up this summer.
Do you, and do you find when you list them, there's a lot of action on, or like kind of stagnant, like?
The one, and I'll bring a whole list of, I'll bring everything at the next meeting, but the one at Prospect has been stagnant. There's really no movement on that because it's kind of a bad spot, but the rest of the properties, a lot of interest.
Oh, mm-hmm.
I know the Union Street properties, there's where they're ready to go. There are people ready to go.
Anything else?
No, that's it.
Rich.
I don't really have anything tonight.
Chair.
Good.
I'm good. This is a pretty round table, we think.
Well,
that's good. Reviewing the financial reports. Chad, want to take us through that?
Wait. I've got to find it. Got it.
I'll make a motion to approve the payroll warrant for $35,032.03.
Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
Seconded by mine. All those in favor?
Aye.
Make a motion to approve the general warrant of $39,999.33.
I'll second that.
Seconded by Rich. That even though you may think $39,000 is a little low, we just didn't have a big bill going out there. All those in favor?
Aye.
Checkbook status?
And our checkbook is sitting at $932,967.50.
Thank you. Executive session. Can someone make a motion to go into executive session?
I'll make a motion to go into executive session for contract negotiations under 1 VSA 313A1.
Seconded.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Thanks for coming. Thanks.